All right, welcome to another deep dive today. We are tackling the book of Acts.
Huge book.
It is. And luckily we have some experts to guide us along. We're focusing on the work of Dr. Robert A. Peterson. And a lot of his insights come from the famous New Testament scholar F. Bruce. I think a lot of our listeners are interested in not just what these books say, but the historical context, the core message. Why is this so important? Why has this lasted for so long? So this deep dive today should really help all of us understand why Acts is still relevant today, even though it was written so long ago.
That's what we're going to try to do. To understand it, you really have to start with the origin. You know, why was it written in the first place? What was the purpose? And then from there, we can dive into the significance of Acts. It played such a crucial role in the early Christian movement. And you can't talk about Acts without talking about the Apostle Paul. So we're going to dig into that as well.
Perfect. Okay, so let's jump right into it. Dr. Peterson points out that F.F. Bruce's scholarship really shaped how we view Acts. And Peterson highlights four of Bruce's works. So the first one is an early commentary that Bruce wrote. And get this, it was filled with references to classical literature.
Really?
Yeah, and apparently that's how Bruce landed his position at the University of Manchester.
Wow.
And this really made him a leading voice in evangelical New Testament scholarship. What a start.
And you can see how that really strong foundation in classical literature, that early work probably influenced his later work, right?
Makes sense.
His volume in the New International Commentary on the New Testament series, that one really gets into the theology of Acts, and it dives deep into the theological stuff about Paul. So there is a definite progression there, but it all goes back to that early scholarship.
So it's like he starts with this foundation, and then he builds on it throughout his career.
Fascinating.
Okay, so what about the other two works that Dr. Peterson mentions?
So we've got Dennis Johnson's The Message of Acts. Now, this one's great because it's really solid, orthodox, and easy to understand. And it gives you this clear direction without getting bogged down in all the tiny details. You know, it's not a complete commentary.
So it's like a high-level overview of the key points.
Exactly.
That's super helpful.
And then there's Howard Marshall's commentary on Acts in the Tyndale New Testament commentary series. This one's interesting because the series itself has changed a lot over time.
Really? In what way?
Well, it used to be written for a general audience. You know, anyone could pick it up and understand it. But as time went on, it became more and more academic.
Ah, so more geared towards scholars and people really deep in the field.
Yeah, and Marshall's commentary is a part of that later, more scholarly phase. Dr. Peterson really values that.
Got it. So we've got this classical approach, a theological focus, and then these more thematic studies.
And don't forget, Dr. Peterson added his own notes on the people of God in Acts, which, knowing his focus on theology, makes sense.
Of course, that's his area of expertise, right?
Exactly.
Wow, so we're approaching Acts from all these different angles. No wonder it's such a rich and complex book. Before we move on, though, you mentioned earlier how Luke and Acts were originally one book.
Oh, yeah, that's so important to remember.
Right, because so many people just think of them as separate.
But they were originally circulated together, dedicated to Theophilus, like two parts of one whole story.
So when did they become separate books?
Well, it was when the four Gospels were compiled together. Acts kind of split off and began its own separate journey.
Ah, so it became a standalone book within the growing Christian scriptures. And that makes sense, right? Because when you look at the New Testament canon, Acts serves as a bridge between the Gospels and the Pauline epistles.
Exactly. It provides that missing link. Like when you read Paul's letters, you might wonder, well, what was happening at that time? How did he get there? Acts fills in those blanks and gives us the context.
So it gives us the historical background that makes Paul's letters more understandable.
And it's not just that. Acts also serves to validate Paul's claim to be an apostle. In those early days, with so many different voices and interpretations, it was really important to establish his authority. And Acts does that.
I bet. Having a historical record that documented Paul's ministry, his travels, his impact, that must have been crucial in showing that he was the real deal.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what makes the mid-second century so interesting. That's when figures like Marcion started popping up.
Marcion. Remind me who he was again.
Oh, right. Well, Marcion basically tried to create his own version of Christian scripture, like a really limited version.
What do you mean?
He took Luke's gospel, but edited it heavily. And he included some of Paul's letters, but he rejected the Old Testament completely. He also rejected the authority of the other apostles.
So he's basically saying that Paul's the only legitimate apostle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that Paul's message was completely new and separate from any Jewish roots.
Yeah, pretty much. And that was a radical idea back then, a huge departure from the mainstream understanding of Christianity.
I can imagine. So how did the wider church respond to Marcion's ideas?
Well, they had to figure out which writings they considered to be truly authoritative. They had to define their canon more clearly. And that's where Acts became super important.
How so?
Well, for one thing, it provided historical evidence for Paul's apostleship, but it also gave accounts of Peter and the other disciples who Marcion had dismissed entirely.
So Acts helped solidify the mainstream understanding of Christian origins and the legitimacy of his key figures. It's like without Acts, we wouldn't have that historical backbone connecting Jesus to the spread of the early church.
Exactly. And the very title, Acts of the Apostles, which became widely used around that time, seems to emphasize that Paul wasn't the only true apostle.
Right. It's plural. Acts of multiple apostles.
Exactly.
And the fact that it was placed in the canon right between the Gospels and the Pauline epistles shows just how important it was for the church.
Absolutely. It was like the glue holding everything together.
Speaking of that placement, you know, Peterson talks about the dating of Acts. And he says that while some scholars think it was written later in the second century because it's so useful in the Marcionite debates, F.F. Bruce argued strongly for a first century date.
Yeah, Bruce made a really compelling case.
What were his main arguments?
Well, he pointed to the historical, geographical, and political details in Luke Acts. He said it just oozes that first century atmosphere. You know, a second century writer wouldn't have been able to capture that so accurately.
I can see that. It's all in the details, right?
Exactly. And Bruce also argued that while Acts certainly refuted Marcion's ideas, its original purpose wasn't just to counter him. He believed Luke had a different, broader purpose in mind.
And we know what that purpose was, right? Because Luke tells us at the beginning of his gospel. He says he's writing so that Theophilus can have certainty about the things he has been taught. He wants to provide an accurate and orderly account based on eyewitness testimony and thorough research.
Yeah, and that sets the stage for both Luke and Acts. They're both parts of this larger project to document the origins of Christianity.
So it's not primarily about refuting later theological challenges. It's about establishing a solid historical foundation from the beginning. Makes sense.
Absolutely. And Bruce was a big believer in Lucanian authorship. He said both early traditions and internal evidence, like those we passages in Acts, strongly suggest that Luke was a traveling companion of Paul.
So they were in the trenches together experiencing those events firsthand.
Yeah, which adds a whole other layer of credibility to the account.
Absolutely. Now, Peterson also talks about Luke's apologetic emphasis in Acts. What does that mean exactly?
Well, Luke really goes out of his way to present Christianity as a lawful movement, respectful of Roman structures. He's trying to counter the idea that Christianity was this outlaw movement started by a convicted criminal and associated with unrest.
And that makes sense, right? Because Jesus was crucified under Roman authority. That had to be a stumbling block for some people.
Of course. So Luke emphasizes that Jesus's condemnation was a miscarriage of justice. He highlights Pilate's initial reluctance and Herod's agreement that Jesus was innocent.
So he's painting a picture of a fair trial gone wrong.
Exactly. And then in Acts, we see a whole bunch of Roman officials who either treat Christians well or find no reason to condemn them. Sergius Paulus in Cyprus, the magistrates in Philippi, Gallio in Corinth, the town clerk in Ephesus, Felix, Festus, Herod Agrippa II. They all play a part in showing that Roman authorities, when acting fairly, didn't see Christians as a threat.
It's like Luke is building this legal case, showing that Christians weren't breaking Roman law.
Precisely. And Bruce suggests that this apologetic tone might have been particularly important in the lead up to or the aftermath of the Jewish revolt of AD 66-70.
Because during that time, Christians would have wanted to distance themselves from any group seen as rebellious.
Exactly. But Dr. Peterson thinks it's more likely that the apologetic aim points to a date before Nero's persecution in AD 64. Because the book doesn't mention those events or Paul's death.
Right. And that earlier dating would fit with the narrative's focus on the positive interactions between Christians and Roman authorities.
Exactly.
So it's all about understanding the historical context and how that shaped the way Luke wrote.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the importance of Paul in Acts.
The man himself.
Peterson points out that Acts basically serves as this historical validation of Paul's ministry. It backs up all the claims he makes in his letters.
I never thought about it that way, but it's true. Without Acts, we'd have Paul's letters, but we wouldn't know the full story of his missionary journeys or the challenges he faced.
It would be like reading half a conversation.
Exactly. And, you know, Tertullian, He actually challenged the Marcionites to explain Paul's background without using Acts.
Yeah, he basically called them out, right? Like, yeah. How can you understand Paul without knowing where he came from and what he went through?
Right, because Acts provides that crucial backstory.
Exactly. And while Paul definitely faced resistance and setbacks in his mission, the overall narrative of Acts helps to establish and venerate his work.
It's like Acts helps solidify his legacy.
And some scholars even suggest that Acts might have actually spurred the collection of Paul's letters into the Pauline corpus.
That's amazing to think about. Like, this historical account might have inspired people to preserve his writings.
It's a fascinating possibility. Bruce himself saw Paul as a key figure in Luke's narrative, almost like a hero. And he believed that Acts is a crucial text for understanding how Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire.
It's true. Paul's work in establishing churches across such a vast area in such a short time is incredible. He really laid the groundwork for the growth of the Christian movement.
Yeah. And remember that quote from Roland Allen that Dr. Peterson included? He basically said that by AD 57, Paul was already planning future missionary journeys because he knew the churches he founded were thriving. And Luke documented all of that in Acts.
So Acts is more than just a historical account. It's a story of Paul's dedication, perseverance, and vision.
And it shows how God used him to spread the Christian message far and wide.
Absolutely. So, wrapping up our deep dive, it's clear that Acts is so much more than a simple historical narrative. It's this carefully crafted work that bridges the Gospels and the Epistles, validates Paul's apostleship, defends the early Christian movement, and chronicles the spread of the faith.
It really is a foundational text.
And it all ties back to Luke's purpose, to provide an accurate and orderly account based on solid research and eyewitness testimony so that people could have certainty about the things they'd been taught.
That's the heart of it.
So here's a final thought for our listeners. As you reflect on how Luke presents the rise of Christianity within the Roman Empire and how he emphasizes the interactions between Christians and both Jewish and Gentile authorities, think about how those early Christians saw themselves in the world. How did they view their relationship with governing powers? That's a question that's still relevant for us today, as we navigate the complexities of faith and politics. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time.